Rolene Marks, a very, very good morning to you. Oh, Rolene Marks, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, and you? I'm still trying to get my body clock into sync. I have no idea what my name is, what planet I am in on, or what time it is, but good to be back. I missed you guys.
So, apparently, Rolene, it takes, your body adjusts about 1 hour per day. So if you're in a 9 hour, if you're a 9 hour time change, it can take you around about a week, obviously, because the last few hours you don't really feel it as much, but it really can take a while to readjust. Are you getting hungry at all the wrong times?
I'm hungry all the time.
So there's that, right.
But, as we say, I'm like completely mobile ballot. I have no idea, what's going on.
Oh, right. I have no doubt. But yet somehow you do know what's going on in the world of news, especially with what's happening in Israel. Can you just bring us up to speed as to what happened early this morning? We're getting reports of of two stabbings in Jerusalem.
Yes, so at least two people have been injured, one very, very seriously in a stabbing attack in the Old City. This was around about 6:20 a.m. and apparently the terrorist entered through the Damascus Gate and stabbed a man inside. He has since been neutralized or eliminated. He also stabbed a 16-year-old boy. The suspected terrorist is a 19-year-old Palestinian from the West Bank, and he was shot dead by police officers at the scene. Now, today is the last Friday of Ramadan, and police are expecting that there could be a serious uptick in violence or heightening of tensions, and extra troops have been deployed around the Old City. The first victim was a man in his 40s, and he has been taken to Shaarat Tzedek, a medical center. He is in extremely serious condition. He was unconscious on the scene and hooked up to a ventilator. The 16-year-old boy has light to moderate wounds, and he's at Hadassah Ein Kerem.
Sure, terrible, terrible story, and of course we'll keep everybody posted on that. Crazy week in the world of politics. I thought, but I always get these things wrong. I thought this was pure brinkmanship, and then at the last moment, a coalition would be formed. I was clearly wrong on it, Netanyahu had to admit defeat, and it's back to the polls again.
Well, I tell you, I think this is for all those people missing a Game of Thrones because it has now ended.
Oh,
so we had to bring it into the political sphere.
It's a good theory. I like it.
No, totally. I know there was like debates around the ending of a Game of Thrones. So this is how we're playing it out. But like you, I was also thinking that perhaps we'd see a last minute agreement, some kind of miracle. But, we're going to the polls 17th of September. When I woke up yesterday morning and got my headlines, I thought, wait, what? We got to do this all again. And what's very interesting is that the current opinion polls have the result basically neck and neck as deadlocked. I don't think we can have a round three, Howard.
So what will happen?
My nerves aren't ready for that.
Can you just answer this? And it confuses me. If Netanyahu didn't succeed in forming a coalition, why wasn't the opportunity given to somebody else?
Well, this is the million shekel question. He preferred to go to rather force the hand to go to elections rather than allow it to go to somebody else. So, you know, again, it's Netanyahu being the strategist, perhaps in his opinion par excellence. In our opinion, this is just, you know, not going to cut the mustard. Now, what is interesting is, will people turn out in their numbers to vote in the second election? I mean, I've spoken to a few people who said they can't be bothered to vote. I was in Miami for the last election, so I'm quite thrilled that I get my opportunity to vote. I've got to say that. But in all seriousness, a lot of people thinking, you know, this is going to cost us too much money, too much in taxpayers' money. Do we really have to go through all this rigmarole again? On the one hand, you've kind of got to hand it to Lieberman for standing strong and doubling down on the issue around the ultra-Orthodox drafting to the IDF, and their exemption actually expires at the end of July. So expect a lot of tension around that time. But could this mean that this gives more impetus to the ultra-Orthodox community, and they will show up in their numbers to make sure that their power base is strengthened in this next election? So there, it's going to be up to the Israeli electorate. What is very interesting is that the current issues that Netanyahu is facing with possible indictment haven't really played much in the decision to go to elections, or hasn't really played out in Lieberman's accusations. And what is also interesting is that Lieberman is not endorsing Gantz for a possible prime minister, which basically leaves it at Netanyahu's feet, but he's not endorsing him either. And will this mean, I mean, I tell you, it really is, it's like House Tully, House Stark, House Lannister, all the houses coming together. Will we see the re-entry of Ayelet Shaked and Naftali Bennett into the fold because they failed to make the necessary threshold to get seats in the Knesset in the last election? But rumor has it that not only were they meeting in Tel Aviv this week, but also Likud ministers have been courting, so to speak, Ayelet Shaked to possibly join the Likud ticket.
Absolutely fascinating. Really, really incredible that this whole thing is about to play out again. And as you say, it will be interesting to see. You know, it could work either way in terms of voters, because maybe people who didn't vote the last time would say, look, you know, maybe if I voted, if we all vote, then we can get a different result. But on the other hand, I'm sure people are also a little bit tired of the shenanigans, and they just want to be able to, they just want to be able to get on with running the country.
Absolutely. The Kahola Velavan have restarted their campaign. They're basically keeping the list as is. Gantz will lead the campaign. He will stay the leader, which is a very impressive nod to Yair Lapid that he's willing to take that step back and let Gantz lead here. But I tell you, all that's missing is a fiery dragon.
Absolutely.
That's all I can say.
All right, but Israel did find a fiery dragon in the north, another Hezbollah tunnel. We started seeing images of that. That was a big story this week as well. And I believe that tunnel has now been destroyed. Give us some context, yeah?
Okay, so in winter of last year, the RDF launched Operation Northern Shield, which they set about exposing and destroying the many Hezbollah tunnels. Now, what is interesting is that the language that is used to describe these tunnels is more attack tunnel than terror tunnel, which I just personally find quite an interesting scenario. So this particular one that is cleared the military center that the RDF have now exposed to the public was the biggest and possibly the most significant of all the tunnels that have been discovered.
So this, Rolene, can I just clarify for my own understanding, was this part of the original findings or is this a new one?
This is part of the original findings.
Okay.
According to them, this was founded in around about December, but
So when they found that other,
now
we're starting to see that. Okay, I get it.
And I really encourage people to go onto the RDF YouTube channel. They've actually got footage of this tunnel. They take you inside, and it's remarkable how sophisticated these tunnels are and how they set up. They've got communications. They're very, very set up. These tunnels have taken absolute years to dig and to build. And of course, the intentions are extremely, extremely nefarious. The intentions are to come in to Israel to possibly lay siege to towns and villages in the north of Israel or to kidnap civilians or to stage some kind of mass attack on Israel. And kol hakavod to the RDF and our security forces for being super vigilant and for now destroying it. Mm-hmm. So yesterday it was sealed off and destroyed, but only after they filmed footage and made sure that the greater public had was seen aware. This. And of course it's in breach of international law. It's in breach of UN Resolution 1701, which says that there shall be no illegal smuggling of weapons, no illegal transgressing of borders, and here it is, flagrant flouting of international law.
Yeah, so it's interesting because what does has there been any fallout politically, or has that just remained very, very quiet? You know, it's easy to point fingers at Hezbollah rather than Lebanon, but the reality is that came from those territories.
Well, I think that the UNIFIL troops and UNIFIL will be called to question. UNIFIL is the United Nations Interim Forces in Lebanon, and it is their mandate to make sure that this doesn't happen, that there are no cross-border attacks. So they will certainly be up for questioning, especially as the world more countries recognize Hezbollah not as a guerrilla organization, which they used to in the past, but more and more are recognizing Hezbollah as a terror organization, a definite proxy of Iran. So I think that if anything, Lebanon will possibly be called to answer how this has been led to happen. And I think the United Nations need to answer for this. It is their troops that have allowed for this to happen.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And it will be interesting to see if there is anything official. But I certainly won't be holding my breath around that. Rolene Marks, it's wonderful to have you. It's wonderful to have you back in Israel, where we can have these types of these conversations. Really, really incredible.
It is so good to be back. I cannot tell you.
So, just before I let you go, we've got exactly 1 minute. We discussed at length yesterday about this new Netflix series, this historical roasting. And, of course, we spoke about the fact that in the series, it's acted out by three Jewish comedians, but a Hitler roasts effectively Anne Frank. What's your thought on it?
You know, I don't think there's anything funny at any time, Jewish comedians or not. And I understand the ideas of roast. I don't find genocide funny at all. I don't find these kind of roasts remotely funny. And I'm very disappointed in the Jewish comedians. I know the one said, you know, this is the ultimate revenge. You're being played by a Jew. I think it's in poor taste. You know, when I was in Melbourne, there was a comedian, okay, not Jewish, whose contract was actually ended by Netflix for anti-Semitic remarks he made at a festival. The festival organizer saying, yes, but it's free speech. But it was in such distaste that Netflix actually ended their contract. Mm.
Rolene Marks, thank you as always. Welcome back to Israel. Nice to have you back on the show. You have a wonderful weekend, a peaceful weekend, and a Shabbat Shalom. It is 8 o'clock. Let's go to news headlines.